I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, I thought the voice of angels from heaven in awesome rang. I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And then I thought my dream was changed. The streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery. The morn was cold and still. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill, the shadow of the cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the crystal sea. The light of God was on the streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter in and know. Was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to rule by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night is o'er. In the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forever.
God's people said, amen. At this time, we'd like to ask the other children now to come forward for our children's moment. How are you all doing this morning? Y'all know what this is? Well, it's an Easter egg. Yay! What's usually in an Easter egg?
Candy,
that's right. What do you think's in this one? You think candy? You think rocks? Oh, a cross? Nothing. It's empty. Can you believe it? They're not supposed to be empty, right? Why is it empty? That's right, because the tomb is empty. And so this Easter egg is empty. Does that make it a bad Easter egg? That mixed results there on that, yeah. No, that makes it a good Easter egg because it reminds us that Jesus rose from the grave and the tomb was empty. The tomb that was meant to hold him is empty and he is gone. And we celebrate that today. That's why we're here, because the tomb is empty, because Jesus has risen from the grave. And because of that, because of his resurrection, we get to share in his resurrection. And that is the best news we could ever have. Now, this isn't the only egg you're going to get to see today. You all are going to go on an Easter egg hunt here in a few short moments, but not before I give each of you an empty egg, because who doesn't want an empty egg? I got to figure out how this closes. I may not be able to fix this one. There we go. All right. So hold on. Watch out. Here, you all each get one, and you guys can, we're going to pray, and then you all follow Miss Vicky downstairs. Parents, after the service, you will pick your children up in the fellowship hall, and we will have them all sugared up and ready to go. We promise. That is our promise to you. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to give each of you all an egg, and you can go, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day. Lord, while this egg is empty, and while it may seem sad at first, we are grateful that it reminds us of the empty tomb. Lord, as these kids go on their Easter egg hunt, we pray that you would bless them, that you would remind them of your love and grace. And as they find eggs with things in them, may they so seek to have Jesus within them as well. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Just enough empty eggs. No mutiny here. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Hear now the word of our Lord. Peter said, "I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him. This is the message of peace he sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism John preached. You know about Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit and endowed with power. Jesus traveled around doing good and healing everyone oppressed by the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to be seen, not by everyone, but by us. We are witnesses whom God chose beforehand, who ate and drank with him after God raised him from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for this Easter Sunday. We thank you that the tomb is empty and that you have risen, and we pray that as you went out to share that message with the disciples, Lord, that we might go out and share that message with others. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that it would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend, and I pray that in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, we may be faithful to your call upon us. Lord, may my words this day be your words, and we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. The passage that we've read today happens sometime later, after Easter, after Jesus has risen, after he has ascended, after the Holy Spirit has come upon the disciples at Pentecost. The passage we've read today and that we will consider over the next few moments shows us how we can and should apply Jesus' resurrection to our daily lives. Because we know that if the resurrection is not real, then our faith is not real. Paul is pretty clear that if the resurrection did not happen, then we are to be pitied more than most for believing that it happened. We have Peter here in Rome, or in the home of Cornelius, who is a Roman centurion. Cornelius is a God follower, but he is indeed a Gentile, and the whole scene that we have before us is rather taboo. Peter tells Cornelius when he first comes to his house, before what we read today, he says, "You know that it's against the law for me to be here. You know that it is not lawful for a Jew to be in the home of a Gentile. You know that this isn't okay." And Cornelius knew that as a Roman citizen, as a Roman centurion, that anyone who wasn't Roman was less than. And so why would he care if this person was in his home? Why would he even invite him into his home? And so we have these two men, one having great power under the auspices of Caesar, and the other having great power under the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they come together in this meeting at Cornelius' home. And we see in this passage Peter practicing the faith that he has in the resurrection. He knows what has taken place. He has borne witness to it. And now it is up to him to live as if that has actually happened. It is up to him to put his faith into practice. Here is where the rubber meets the road. Everything about this encounter is different. Nothing is as Peter or Cornelius could have ever imagined or could have ever thought possible. So Peter, when he gets here, does the only thing he knows to do. He shares the gospel. He shares the good news. He tells them about the resurrection of Jesus, about the things that he has done, the miracles he has performed, his death, and now his resurrection. And the result takes place immediately in verse 44 that we didn't read. The Holy Spirit comes upon all of those in the home of Cornelius. And Peter and the Jews who are with him are in awe that the Holy Spirit has come even upon the Gentiles. And Peter even says it himself, "Can we stop them from being baptized?" And of course, this is a rhetorical question, and he has all of Cornelius' house baptized. All of them come to know Christ in a very powerful way on this day. The story of Peter and Cornelius is the New Testament equivalent of the story of Jonah. Everyone familiar with the story of Jonah? He gets sent to Nineveh, right? Does Jonah want to go to Nineveh? No, not at all. Jonah is the racist prophet. Peter here, just before he comes to this place, doesn't like Gentiles. Doesn't think they're worthy of anything, and God shows him through a vision that that is not okay. And so Peter comes, more willingly, I think, than Jonah, went to Nineveh, and he proclaims a message to those whom Peter never would have thought should receive it. And the Holy Spirit pours out on these persons. Now, Peter is a little more excited than Jonah about the salvation that these people receive. Jonah goes off and has a pity party. Anyone ever had a pity party? If you didn't laugh at that joke, I would have had a pity party. But Peter is excited. Peter is in awe of what God is doing, and that is because the Holy Spirit is present. Peter understands and knows the Holy Spirit. Peter understands and knows the resurrected Savior and how Jesus has changed everything. And he is seeing it now in a way that he never thought he would see it. Peter's faith in the resurrection calls him beyond his understanding to faithfulness. Now, all of us in here know how the world is supposed to work, right? How many of us have groups of people we talk to and we solve all the world's problems, right? We know how the world is supposed to work. We know how things are supposed to go. We know what this is supposed to look like or that is supposed to look like. And because of Jesus' resurrection, all of that we need to throw out the window. Because what we think we know is often not what we need to know. The resurrection of Christ. The fact that God shows no partiality. This is a huge thing for Peter to realize. And I think that fact that God shows no partiality is something we need to continue to realize as well. So how do we apply the lesson of Easter to our lives? How do we show people, others? How do we show God? How do we show ourselves that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Easter reminds us that whatever God calls us to do, he will see it through. He called Jesus to come, his very son, to live, to die, to rise again, and we know that he saw it through. And Jesus' road wasn't easy, was it? He had some difficult things he had to do. But God, his Father, the Holy Spirit, saw him through. And we know that when God calls us to reach out, to minister, to come alongside others, that he's going to see it through, isn't it? It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be fun. But it's going to be faithful. It's going to be fruitful. There is no limits to God, only the limits that we put on him when we hear him calling us. Easter teaches us that the Holy Spirit is present with us because of Jesus' resurrection and ascension. What was one of Jesus' last promises to his disciples before he went to the cross? It's good that I should die. It's good that I should leave because one more powerful than I is coming. The advocate, the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to help you. And you are going to know and understand the things that you've seen and heard in ways that you've never understood them before. The Holy Spirit is responsible for this entire story. The Holy Spirit is the key actor in all of this taking place. Peter is told in a vision that nothing God has made is unclean and that God shows no partiality. All of us who come to Christ are to change our hearts and our lives. To recognize that our plans, our thoughts, the way we think things should work, need to be laid aside so that we can focus and see how God wants things to work. How God has ordained things. How God has set things in motion. Peter recognizes that when he enters the home of Cornelius, he can't stop them from being baptized after receiving the Holy Spirit. I love how Peter phrases this. He's telling the story of Jesus, but he keeps telling them, you know. You know what happened. You've heard what happened. I witnessed it. And this is what takes place. They know the story. They know who Jesus is. Today we know the story. We know who Jesus is. But until the Holy Spirit comes upon us, until we are ready to receive, until we are ready to truly acknowledge that the resurrection is in fact what took place, it won't matter. We know it, but do we truly know it? Do we truly believe it? Easter means that God wants Jesus to rise up in the lives of all those who might come to know him. And that happens through our work. It happens through the ministry that we are a part of. Like Peter, we can practically tell people about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. You notice Peter doesn't go on into anything crazy here. He simply tells the story of events, doesn't it? We know the events. We know how they took place. That's what we're called to share. It is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who does the saving. He is the one who causes the change within us. Our job is merely to be faithful and obedient to God's leading, regardless of where that may take us. Regardless of who that might put in our path. Peter never wanted to enter into the home of a Gentile. There's no reason a Roman centurion would ever honor a Jew, let alone have a Jew in his home. Yet here we are. Yet here we find ourselves. Peter and Cornelius are Easter people. Easter. Easter people see things a little bit differently. Easter people recognize Jesus' resurrection as a real and undisputable fact because of the witness of Peter and those who came after, those who were there, who have told us that story. Easter people fight their desire to show partiality because they know that God does not show partiality. They share that message with everyone, like the parable of the sower who just goes and throws seed everywhere. It's not their job to put it in one place or another or to say this isn't going to work or that's where we need to put it. The job is simply to sow. Easter people faithfully listen and obey to the call of the Holy Spirit. Easter people celebrate the good news in the hopes that we will have the opportunity to share it with others. Easter people only share what they know, and they let God do the rest. Your job is simply to share what you know. God will do the rest. We are Easter people when we allow the story of Easter to propel us to acts of kindness, to acts of love, to acts of grace and mercy in our midst. I often get this question from different people. How do you know that you're a believer in Jesus? How can I know that I'm truly a believer? And my answer to them is usually this. You want to share the good news with others. You want other people to know what you know. Because when we do that, we know it is the Holy Spirit working through us. And when we see people come to know as we have come to know it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Holy Spirit only works with and through those who will allow the Holy Spirit to do that work. Easter people are sharing people. We have an opportunity today and always to share with others. We know the story. We know what has taken place. The question for us becomes, what will we do about it? What will our actions be? How will we show others what we believe? That is our task. That is our responsibility. That is our privilege and our joy. We are Easter people. May we hear these Easter lessons and may we share them with others. Amen. And amen. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is indeed a day of celebration and joy. You have risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As your people, we pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment, that you would give us courage and obedient faith and trust to share this good news with others. Like Peter, who went to the home of someone he didn't like, we pray that you would give us that same courage. As Cornelius, who invited someone into his home that he thought maybe less than, we pray that you would give us that courage as well. May we receive your Spirit, and may we allow your Spirit to shape us and to mold us. Lord, we thank you for this day. May Christ truly be risen in our lives and in the lives of those we encounter. And we ask all of this in the risen Christ's most precious and holy name. Amen.